des amis. While you're standing, if you just wouldn't mind just praying with me, and I want to use a verse from a songwriter. It says, "Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted." Father God, we just thank you so very much, Lord God, for another opportunity, Lord God, to be before your people. We ask you, Lord God, to increase in me, Lord God, as I decrease, Lord God, that it is not about me, but it is all about you, Lord God. And our desire is to be to magnify who you are, Lord God, in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth, Lord God, and meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable, Lord God, unto you, Lord God. That I would give, Lord God, exactly what you have given me to say, Lord God, and nothing more. And all these blessings we ask your son Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. I ask you to have your seats. It truly is an honor to be before you today. Thank God for Apostle David and Pastor Leonard for making it back home safely. Amen. I'm sure their little dog is ready as much as I am ready to give that dog up back to them. If I must. I just want to thank God. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I want to thank God for you all. I'm have you going to be good? I love to call them out. I'm going to have four people that come up here and give you their fondest memory of their mom. And I didn't put any of them on the spot. I asked them in advance so it wouldn't be last minute on them, except for one person. But I thank God for each and every one of them that said yes. I think that's very important. I could tell you my story all day. But I wanted you to get to know your community. I wanted you to get to know some of the members that you fellowship with and get to know where they came from. Some of you may have heard my story, and if I may, I'll just give you a short version of me. Born in Houston, Texas, and my mother is Catherine Giles Dillon. Wonderful woman, had me in church. She was my Sunday school teacher. So there was no skipping Sunday school for me. And she taught. And what I loved about her, I loved her diligence, because if there was no other kids there, it was me and my sister that was there. And she studied like it was going to be a house full. And she gave us the word, and I absolutely loved Sunday school. And when I got to Living Faith Christian Center, I was able to be a Sunday school teacher, and I absolutely loved it. What did I love about it is because children, they ask the questions that make you dig into the word. They just don't take you for face value. And at some point when we become adults, we kind of forget that a little bit. But I want to encourage you today is to read the word. Don't take my word for it. Get into the word yourself and find out. And ask good questions. And if I don't know, we're going to find out together. And that's what Bible study is for. If you guys come to Bible study Wednesday night, we have been so enriched this year. And I think all my time here being under the tutelage of Apostle David, that I've learned so much. I have learned, even when he has learned things that he had learned earlier that wasn't right, he came and let us know. And I definitely appreciate that apostle, because not a lot of pastors will do that. They will just say, hey, just suck it up and learn what you learned. But he was able to help teach us. And as he grew, we were able to grow. And I appreciate that apostle. Also wanted to give a shout out not only to my mom, but to my mom in Oak Harbor, Washington. I remember being a young sailor in the Navy, and when I first met Apostle David and Pastor Linda, she was cooking her kids' food. I don't know how many she still had in the house when I met and when I was 19 years old, but I ate there often when I was dating their daughter, and I absolutely loved it, because you know how as kids you got to get used to their mom's food, so they don't appreciate it as much, but I appreciated every meal. And I remember when the kids would not eat their food, I would say, pass it on over to me. So I appreciate that. And I loved how she relate as we got to know each other more, how she would relate to the grandchildren that she had. She would ask them what the current slangs were so that she could be in the know, and she could try to slide them in on her sermons and when she would talk to them. And even when she would get it wrong, they would correct her. They'd be like, Grandma. But she was trying, right? She was trying. Some of it was just so silly that I wouldn't even go in with them. But she was trying to show them how she still wanted to connect on their level and to get to know them. And I definitely appreciated about that, Mom. And I was always watching about that. Not necessarily knowing that I'm going to do that, but I definitely appreciate the example that you did. Some of it is just straight ridiculous. But I want to, before I bring these people up, I wanted to give you some words of encouragement. I have a little video I want to show you. And then I want to give you a word of caution. Moms, older moms, younger moms, moms-to-be, I want to give you a word of caution, and I'm going to share that with you at the end. And before this video, are you guys ready for the video? Before this video, I wanted to share what Apostle has shared with us probably last year and times before is Anna Jarvis. And what I loved about Anna Jarvis is she was the one who Mother's Day got all started in 1903, and then it was approved in 1914 by Woodrow Wilson, if I'm not mistaken. And what I loved about it is that she died at 73, and 3 years later, her daughter said that she wanted her life to be celebrated. 3 years later, after she had passed. That's legacy right there. And so Anna Jarvis, she had she helped moms. She would help the little children. She would have mom clubs where she would just go into the community and help moms that had at that time had syndromes, child syndromes that would, the babies would die early. So she would go out into the community and help other mothers do what they needed to do to save their children, not alone, you know, and she had her own children that she had to take care of. And she was doing this until she was 73, and I thought it was awesome that her child, after she had been gone, would still honor her. And I think that's one of our commandments, am I right? Is to honor your mother and father, that your days will be long. And I thought that was super awesome. And then I thought to myself, how am I honoring my mother? And do I have to wait till she's passed away? I don't want to. And let me be honest with you. I don't know if my mom's heard any of my sermons, if I could be honest. I'm sure she'd be telling you, I heard them. But I don't know if she knew that when under the tutelage of my pastor here that I had been on shipboard ministry. I was just a kid that had grew up in church, and I was kicking and screaming the whole way. Like when I would say, Mom, can I not go to church today? She's like, boy, how you fix your mouth to say that? Like, there is no other way. This is church. This is your livelihood. If I can't give you nothing, I'm going to give you Jesus. And I couldn't understand it, Elder, that how she would tell me how I fix my life. Like, my friends are chilling, and they don't seem like they're going to hell. They don't even go to church. Mom, why do I got to get dressed up for school? Why do I got to wear slacks and nice shirts for school when all my friends are wearing the nice tennis shoes, and I had with the best of Payless. If you guys remember Payless shoe stores, I don't know if anybody wear Pro Wings, but I got delivered. I don't wear Pro Wings anymore. Walmart specials. But all my friends had the Pumas and the British Knights, I don't remember what else was that. Nikes wasn't that great, but it was some nice shoes out. And I was like, one day, I hope God deliver her. She don't think we need these Payless shoes no more. But she gave me what I needed. And I never lacked anything. But I wanted something different. But she gave me what I needed. And I definitely appreciate it. And I thank God for the seamless transition as I went out joined the Navy. He knew that exactly what I needed. He knew I needed just enough mom to get me over, to hold me accountable, to call me when I did not really want to answer that phone. Just enough mom to ask those hard questions that I really didn't want to answer, but I knew I had to submit because I wanted to make sure that accountability kept coming. Because at some point, the accountability stops when you stop answering that phone. And you want that accountability. And that's for everybody, not just your moms. First person I want to come up is I want to have Brother Phil come on up and share a little bit.
Amen. Remember Sam told you that he had called, notified people ahead of time to prepare? Well, my preparation was I walked to the front door and he said, hey, Phil, can you talk this morning? I said, okay. So I'm as every year goes by, I just have a deeper sense of gratitude for my mom. My dad was a chaplain. He was a pastor in the Army for 32 years. He was in World War II, Korea twice, Vietnam, and my mom... you know what they say about dynamite, right? You know, those powerful things come in small packages. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they'd ask my mom, Helen, how tall are you? She'd say, I'm 5 feet. I'd say, she's really about 4'10". She's a tiny, tiny little lady.
That's amazing.
But she was, as Donita would testify, she was quite the powerful little woman. And, you know, as a chaplain's wife, you know, you rub shoulders with majors, colonels, generals around the chapel, and she had, if she had a problem with, she didn't care what rank they were, she'd just walk right up and let her know what the chapel needed, what needed to happen on the base, the post. My mom grew up a farmer's daughter in the Wesleyan Methodist Church, so as a young girl, her passion was playing the piano and organ. And like Elder Porter, Robert, my mom could light a piano up like you could not believe. You knew my mom, if you walked in, you knew who was playing that Sunday. And she could walk up, and we were in Germany for 5 years. She could be into these huge cathedrals. German pastors would invite her to play the organ. And you couldn't even see her above the organ, this tiny little lady playing. But she could just fill that cathedral full of music. And I'm one of five. I'm the middle child. And so, you know, like others have shared, you know, going to church was quite the deal. And, you know, if you're the son of a chaplain, that means on Saturday your clothes are laid out, your shoes are polished, you show up looking as good as all the officers are. You got to perform. And so, you know, I grew up with that. But unfortunately, during high school, when my dad was away in Korea on a tour, he got deathly ill. And my attitude towards church and Christ, the Bible, just went south. And I had a horrible attitude. But my mom, she was so persevering. My dad almost died from bad water out in the field on maneuvers. And during high school, my salvation was hunting, fishing, and wrestling. And so I was doing really good in wrestling. I thought I was really hot stuff. And I came home from high school one day, and our house in Bellevue had a staircase up the back on the deck. You could come into the kitchen the back way. And I peeked in. I didn't think anybody was in there. And when I came in, I opened the refrigerator looking for something to drink, and what I wanted wasn't there. And so I uttered a few expletives that weren't appropriate. But I didn't realize my mom was over in the corner, and she heard all this. And she turned around, and she said, Philip, those words don't honor the Lord. That just hurts my heart to hear you talk like that. And I just was so, as the word says, cut to the quick. I was so shocked. I just was so embarrassed and humiliated. I never uttered a word like that again in front of my mom. And but my mom's gift to the church was her gift for music, her service for others as a chaplain's wife. She always had inviting somebody home for dinner after chapel, always, you know. And there were two chapel services on Sunday, Sunday school. She did the junior choir, the senior choir. And my happy day was, because, you know, if you're the preacher's kid, you have to be in the junior choir. But my salvation was when I was 13 and my voice started to change. Somebody said, someone's really flat. Who is that? And they said, it's Phil. And she said, you're out. And so that meant I could go bowling on Saturdays. Hallelujah. So I came to Christ when I was 20, and soon after that, because of the Vietnam lottery, the draft then, I enlisted in the Air Force. I said to my dad, no offense for the Army, but I'm going to enlist in the Air Force. I ended up over in a base in Thailand, a huge base, and towards the end of Vietnam, things were really terrible. Morale was terrible, and the Air Force was consolidating a lot of bases, and most of the men and planes were coming to the base I was at. Morale was really bad. I was really blessed that I was able to grab onto the shirt tails of some other brothers who were way more mature in Christ, who were discipling me and encouraging me. And so we were praying about what we could do to reach these other guys for Christ. And so we said, hey, let's talk to the chaplain, see if we can have an event at the chapel, and we get some movies and stuff. And, you know, if you're far away from home, if you get a letter, that's pretty cool, right? But if you get a box of cookies from home, you better run it to the corner in your barracks and hide, because if the other guys find out, it'll be like piranha. They'll just mob you, and you won't have anything left. So I wrote a letter home to my mom and said, hey, listen, I could really use your help in the women at church. Could you just get together and bake a box of cookies, pies, whatever, and send it to us. And we'll use it for this event. So I went to my little mailbox one day about a week and a half later, and I opened it up. Oh, praise the Lord. I look in there, and it's nothing but these little cards, you know, that you got a package. And so I had 23 of those. I walked up to the window, and the guy looks at me, "Sergeant Hunsberger, can I help you?" I said, "Yes, sir." And I took them, fanned them all out like a deck of cards. And so I ended up making two trips to carry 23 boxes of cookies back. But we had those at the chapel. We had a bunch of movies. And we gave a presentation of the gospel. It was so cool. A bunch of guys came to Christ because of that. So I could write home to my mom and say, "Mom, do you realize those cookies that the women sent, guys came to Christ because of that?" So after I came to Christ, and, you know, growing up, I'd hear my mom play all these choruses. My dad could be in the pulpit, just look at my mom. My mom would know exactly what hymn to play at the right time. But my mom used to play a chorus that, after I came to Christ, really touched me. And so it goes like this. It says, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity, O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." And that was my mom.
I'm just here for moral support.
Good morning, everyone. So one of my fondest moments of my mother would be her faith. And it's because my mom, her name is Denise, I'm one of four, so I'm the third child. She came to America, didn't speak English. We're Haitian, so she came over here, didn't speak English. We grew up in a dysfunctional household, so my dad was very abusive, physically, mentally, and my mom, you know, she planted herself in the church, so because of her faith, it helped me be the person that I am today. Not a lot of people know this, but in 2021, my second older sister had a stroke, and my mom could not be strong for her, because, you know, any mother seeing their child go through anything, you know, it was a hard time, so because of her faith, me and my younger sister got to stand up in the gap and, you know, prayed. And my sister is doing better now. She's not 100% covered, but she's doing better. And I just want to tell you, Mom, thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. As a child, seeing my mom go through what she went through with my father, I remember saying that I would never get married, I would never have kids, so I wouldn't have to go through what she went through. And for years, I remember my mom would pray for me. She would ask God to forgive me for the things that I said, that I would never get married and never have kids, so my kids would not have to go through what we endured at the hand of my father. But thank you, God, that he answered my prayer. He blessed me with an amazing husband, and now I'm going to be a mom. So thank you, Mom, for all your prayers. Thank you for your support, and I love you.
I couldn't think of like one fond memory of my mom because there's too many. Oh, I couldn't think of one fond memory because there's too many. But my mom is my biggest flex. Like just the mom she is. Like she's always been there in my life, and she's, yeah. So, just always making a situation, even if it's like not a good one, putting light to it. If my like when I was little, maybe. Like, if there's, like, a disagreement between my parents and whatnot, it'd be, like, afterwards, like, "Hey, want to go to, like, Mount Baker or, like, Disneyland or, like, things like that." So it's just, like, always being there, and, like, she's always mom first, but I'm happy to like say that she's my friend second. So, but yeah.
Good morning. I was on the verge of tears. I was hoping I'd just cry past my turn. But when Pastor Sam asked me to do this, I kind of thought for a second because I don't have, like, my mom wasn't there, but she was there, kind of. So I didn't want to, but then I thought, like, God, what could I say? Because, you know, like Pastor Linda said, you know, we're here for a reason. They made you, and you're here, and so got to be something. And I was reminded this morning, last year on Mother's Day, my mom, like 2 weeks before, I got in contact with her, and we were just talking, and for whatever reason, she called me on Mother's Day, and we were talking, and I'm like, Mom, I gotta go. Like, I wanted to rush her, but I didn't, and we were just having a conversation, and my mom has been sick all my life, and I didn't find this out until like 2 years ago, but she has cancer, and because of her addiction and stuff, her brain has issues and she has a lot of seizures. So she'll have a seizure and on a regular day and will forget everything she did that day, or she'll have a seizure sometimes and she'll forget her kids for a little bit. And I didn't really know that, but she kind of expressed that to me. And in her expressing that to me, she started to apologize because she was feeling, you know, bad about what she did or didn't do. And I got a chance to kind of tell my mom, honestly, we just got to open up a door of forgiveness pretty much. And I got to tell her that it's weird, but I like little fun facts. But right before that conversation, I found out that the first 7 years of your life, you kind of base your life future off of that. So what you learn the first 7 years of your life are like little habits. So if someone gets you up and starts your day with breakfast and things like that, you'll become an adult that'll do that because it happened in the first seven. And it came to my mind while I was talking to her. I'm like, Mom, in the first 7 years of my life, that was the only years you got me. At seven is when they came and took me out of school and I went to a different family. And I started to remind her of the things that I did remember in those 7 years. And I was like, Mom, I remember there were times that, I know we didn't go to church every Sunday, but there would be times that we would just pop up in these places and I knew they were church. And I told her, I remember like getting baptized probably twice, and I didn't understand that either. And then I remember like this song that she used to sing, and I didn't remember the words, but I remember the melody, and I started to sing the song to her. And as I sung the song to her, she started to sing the words back to me, and it was a prayer, and I never knew. And from there, I started to sing just these songs that I remember. Everybody thought my mom was like super bad because she was kind of like an alternate kind of punk rock kind of mom. So they thought because we listened to heavy metal sometimes that she was kind of weird. But my mom was very, very, very much a soft person. And some of the songs that she would like sing to us were rock songs, but they were these heavy songs with soft meanings. And as I was like going back and remembering like little songs I was singing them to her, she was just like, you remember that? You remember that? And I remember like the songs that me and my little brothers would make up. Me and my brother and my sister would make up and we would sing to her. I remember this little performance we thought we put on for her. And as I'm telling her, like her face is like, what? And it's coming back to her. And as it came back to her, like it felt like a perfect moment to tell her, like, I forgive you. I'm not mad. I never hated you. I was always confused. And we pretty much found out that because of, you know, adoption and because of word of mouth and somebody else's words, a lot of things that we thought was miscommunication of her not wanting to be there, her not caring for me, her being in a hospital, things like that, it wasn't always what it seemed. And I got to find out, you know, that my mom loved me, and she got to know that, you know, me and her are so much alike. Almost every hobby that I have, my mom has. just everything, like just how we go about raising our kids. I used to think we were a little wild, but my mom saw a lot of things in me and my sisters and brothers that we didn't see in ourselves. And now that we're older and we're starting to express ourselves differently, they're starting to come back out. And so I just want to thank God for that, because I don't have like all these memories of picking me up from school and all that, but I can say that some kids lost their parents and they never got to say that they forgive them. They never got to say, you know, that I'm better. I thank you, and I got to say that, and I still get to say that. And so that's mine.
Amen. I am standing in for Thomas. He had to leave to go help out at the park, so, you know, we can have some good food when we get there. So if he gets mad, because I'm going to share my fondest memory of his mother, and that is, you know, I'm so thankful that I can call and tell on him when I want him to get in trouble. So he should have been here if he wanted to share one of his. But that's what I love about my mother-in-law, is that I can call, and she is the voice of reason for her son. She has raised four boys. She has been married 40 years to her husband. And her husband, throughout his entire life, pretty much has struggled with drugs. He was in and out of the house. There were very few fond memories that Thomas could really share about his dad. Other than, like, he was really hard on him and, you know, things of that nature. But when I consider my mother-in-law and how she stays true to her vows, even to this day, Thomas's dad has been out of the house pretty much his entire life, but she is still married to him. She is still devoted to him. I have never heard her say anything bad about their father. And for her to have raised four men by herself, yeah, it is just truly a blessing. When I speak to her and she's telling me stories about how bad Thomas used to be, and it's true, Thomas, you know, he was bad. He can have a sarcastic mouth even now, but it used to get him in trouble a lot. But she would always just continue to, you know, as a single mom, sometimes you're told you got to be the mom and the father, but she was the mother to them. And she still allowed their dad, when he would come around, to be a father to them. Wow. And so that's what I truly honor about her, is that she raised her boys, and, you know, they've all graduated from college and served in the military. They're all married except for the baby brother. But, you know, she's doing a great job. She's continuing to do a great job. It's great to have a mother-in-law who is in our lives. You know, I'm going to say my mom. She is my mom. Who is in our lives. She remembers all of her grandchildren's birthdays. And even, you know, although we're not there locally in New Orleans, she still texts all the kids or cash apps them money. She has included all of my children as if they were from Thomas, and that is truly a blessing.
Amen.
She could have easily told Thomas not to marry a single mom with three kids, but she was right there. She was right there. She and I became really good friends before Thomas and I became really good friends. So that was a blessing. We would be on the phone, Thomas and I, and I would have him call his mom, or she will have him call me, and he will just be on three-way quiet while we're talking. So, but just happy Mother's Day to Mama Paula. She is such an amazing woman. She'll be here next month for Ty's graduation. She said she wasn't going to miss it. So, you know, Thomas got his cooking from her, and I thank God for that, because I don't have to do much of it. So happy Mother's Day to Mama Paula.
I thank each and every one of you guys for sharing those stories. There's some good word in that. I love that. For those of you guys who have your Bibles, and if you didn't bring your Bibles, I'm going to share something with you. But like I said, don't take my word for it. I want you to go back and read it. This is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is one of the major prophets. And he's coming into a woman named Hannah. And some of you may be familiar with Hannah. Hannah is near dear to my heart because her first child's name was Samuel. Samuel means asked of God. And if you continue to read in 1 Samuel, you'll see why his name is so fitting. But with Hannah, what I like about Hannah is that she didn't have a great story. Hannah was a wife of a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah, he had two wives. And when I read this story, I see a lot of, I'm not going to see a lot, but two specific areas where there was some opposition. For one, she was barren. She could not have any children. And in the Bible, and this is the NIV version, it says that her rival, which was the other wives, they were making fun of her because she could not have any children. And Elkanah, he loved her. She was his favorite. And even though he loved her, he could not give her. And so she wanted a son. And so she would pray that she would have a child, as any mother would at some point. I don't know if every mother wants children, but as most mothers would, they want a child to give to their husbands. And in that time frame, you weren't very important unless you had a son. You could have some daughters, but, you know, they were not going to really write about it. It wasn't going to go in history. They might have said, yeah, he had a couple of kids. But when you had a son, it held a little bit more weight. And so Elkanah, he even told her, he said, you know, am I not good enough to you than 10 sons? But it wasn't enough. So she went to her father and she prayed. And she went to the temple and she prayed. And in one instance in the scripture, it says that her rival was there. When she went to the temple to pray, her rival was there at the temple while she prayed and poked fun at her because she was barren. Now, I want you to get that now. At the temple, going to church, she was there with her rival, making fun of her because she couldn't have children. But God heard her prayer. And he gave her a son, and she prayed, if you give me this son, I will give it back to you. Oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, what a contribution. I want to tell you today, for a mother who had no children, to say that if I get this child, I'm going to give it back to you, because I trust you enough that if you give me a child, I'm going to give you something that is truly worthy of the gift that you have given me. Because if you gave me one child, you can give me another. And I want to tell you that she had more kids after Samuel. You want to know how many? Read it for yourself. But she gave this child, so she submitted this child to Eli after a time when he was being weaned. After the weaning time was over, she gave this child to Eli, which was a priest in the church. And I failed to mention, and I apologize, that Eli had told her, he thought that she was drunk. And he had told her, like, woman, you coming up here drunk? And I'm paraphrasing, of course. She's like, no. She had been praying so hard for this child, submitting her submission or her petition to God for this child, which she did receive. And Samuel became the priest of King David, if you guys have never known, if you did not know. But it is in the Bible, so I encourage you guys to read it. And he did some great things. But I wanted to tell you, and I wanted to caution you before I caution you, I wanted to tell you that there are many oppositions I have seen in the women and the mothers in my life and the mothers in this church that I have seen, but that did not stop them from continuing on the pathway for them to do what they do as mothers. And I wanted to tell you, and this is the biggest thing I want to caution you, that the world does not, well, I'm not saying the world does not, but do not let the world impose on you what motherhood is supposed to be like. The world does not define what motherhood is. Society does not define what motherhood is. And the problem with society and when the social media, when they define what motherhood is, it will change from day to day. They will say that this was the best thing for your children. They will tell you how to educate your children, what you should feed your children. They will tell you how to discipline your children. But what I have found is that when you listen to your grandmother, when you listen to your mother, what works for them works for you, especially those in the household of faith. When you go to the Word of God and when it says train up a child that the way that they should go, that if you would find that, you will come to know that it has been better. As society, what we do is parents, I don't know if you guys ever had that mindset. I want to raise my children. I want to give my children a better life than I had. But let me tell you that I don't know if you have ever realized that once you start having children is that, you know, the way my mom did it wasn't too bad. The way my dad did it, it wasn't so bad. There was a reason for it. They made us to use critical thinking skills. They didn't tell us they didn't just give us the answer. They told us to go find it. Go look it up in a phone book. Go look it up in an encyclopedia. And when I got older, I told my son, go Google it. I know the answer, but I want you to be able to find it for yourselves. Because I'm not going to always be here, for an example. And so I want to let you know it is so imperative that when you see the world today, I could just tell you statistics, but I want you just to look at how the world is going. If you're reading the news, if you're following social media, you see that is here today and gone tomorrow. I have never seen so many children on ADHD, and that's not a bad thing for me, but I have never seen so much children diagnosed with ADHD. And when I look at them, I'm like, I had this exact same energy. And I'm wondering if maybe we may be getting it wrong. When I look at children having some of the very poor diets that usually it was reserved for older people. When I see not only the diets, but the diseases at early ages that you really usually when we were younger, we saw on older people. I'm wondering maybe they don't got it right. Maybe, just maybe, we need to look back. Maybe we need to search the scriptures and find out what it is we should be doing. What I absolutely love about this Bible is that it gives us instructions. It gives us wisdom so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. What I love about it, and I know this is a Mother's Day message. This is my first Mother's Day message. But I want to caution you is that we have to be careful what we pick up and where we pick it up from. Because if we are saying that we are children of faith, that we are children of God, and we want to live this life according to the word of God, because people are looking and they're watching. And I know that some of you here, even in this place, you have grown up and you have found out, like, why are we doing things different that our friends out in the world are doing differently? Because the Bible tells us that we have to be set apart. We are going to be peculiar people. We're going to be raised a little different so that we're not going to be out past curfew when we are not supposed to be out past curfew. I wanted to share a little story. This past week, my question of the week is, what is the most rebellious thing you did as a teenager? And I had a lot of great stories. I'm telling people telling themselves. But I want to tell myself today is that And I know it may not seem as bad, but it was bad for me, Mama D. Curfew was 10 o'clock. I stayed out till like 11:15, 11:30. And I was very embarrassed as a child because of this. But I was waiting at this girl's house because her mama said that she had to be in the house, but she could be on her porch as late as she wanted, but she could not leave the yard. And so I'm at her house at 11:15 trying to get a kiss. Till 11:15, and I did not get that kiss. So I went home, and I did not get a kiss. I didn't get no butt whooping either. I was surprised. I thought I should get one. She was waiting for me at the house, and as soon as I walked in, she had her arms folded, and I was like, oh, it's on life. I'm going to die. And she just turned around, and she went back to her room, and I'm like, nah, that's even worse. When it's like nothing said. And so I go to bed, and I'm telling you, I'm just waiting for that door to open and waiting for that belt to come swinging, and I got to protect myself. It never happened. But I was at school the next day, and my mom showed up. I said, I know she ain't going to whoop me in front of these kids. But she didn't do that either. She came and talked to me and one of my teachers, and I think it was the assistant principal, and she wanted to know what was going on with me. This is out of character for me, Corey. I never stayed out past late, but I didn't tell her. I mean, I'm sharing this with you today, and if she read it, she see it today, this is what she'll know, because I never told her. Because I was embarrassed. Elder Port, I was embarrassed because I was like, I didn't get the kiss, and I feel like, yo, I couldn't even follow through. I stayed an hour and a half for nothing in my mind as a kid, so I wouldn't tell her. So they were just talking to me like, one, she was saying, hey, this is out of character. Are you doing drugs, or you getting into something bad? And I'm like, it ain't even that serious, Diane. I ain't got no game. That's what I should have just told her. I ain't got no game, and I couldn't pull it through. But that's all it was, and that was the most rebellious thing I really did. However, I really thank God that she did not let up. She came to the school, and she came to find out, and I never broke curfew after that. I was really embarrassed that she had to come get off work. So to see about me and to let me to find out, like, what is going on with you? This is out of character. I raised you better than this. And thank God I wasn't out there doing anything but, you know, trying to see if I had game, which none. I had none whatsoever. But I really thank God for the Hannah. And I pray that you to read it. I pray that you get something out of it, even more so than what I have shared with you today, that God is faithful. And God gave us some others. And I like how one of, well, I can't remember who said it, but I do want to say just enough. gave you just enough mama. Oh, there was Lucretia. You knew exactly what you needed. No, despite the things that they have made a mistake on, despite what they did not get right, it's your mama. It was God-given, and it was purposeful. And if you are, if you're wise enough, you can get what you could get. I think about my brother all the time. His mom passed away when he was before you were born, or when you were born? 1 year old. And what he was still able to get something out of his mother. And not only that, he had some great replacements, great substitutes at that time. Am I right? So God, he is not slacking his promises. God is not, he don't leave us hanging. He takes care and he knows exactly what you need. And today we are celebrating mothers for that. Celebrating the sacrifices, the contributions, and the commitment. I know it's not easy, moms, and I definitely appreciate it. I know it ain't easy, and when you look at yourselves in the mirror, you constantly see the failures that you have. You didn't measure up, or what you could have done better, the men that you chose, and you think that maybe I made some mistakes and I've ruined my kids. But we are resilient. And I'm sure I won't embarrass my mom, but my mom, she's 71 this year. And she still says, I apologize. I could have done things better. And for those of you who don't know, there was incest in my home when I was growing up. My father died when I was 12. They didn't get along. They were married for 8 years, but 4 of those years, he wasn't even home. So she thought she made a mistake, that she did not pick the right man that would take care of his own kids. Good man. I have nothing bad against my father. And then she remarried a guy. He was from prison. It was a pen pal letter. I don't know if you guys knew this, but the church women would write the prisoners, and the prisoners would get with these church women. And then when they would get out of jail, it was on and popping, and all their issues came right along with it. So my stepfather was not the greatest man. He introduced incest into my home. He robbed us. And then he came back and he would rob us again. And he would mishandle people in the neighborhoods. We gave us our household a bad name. And people were always knocking on our door. And my sister was molested. And my mom was just like, I am the most terrible mother. And I told her about one instance. And I thought, like, what are you going to do about this? Are you going to kick this man out this house? And so she felt really bad. Now, as a parent, now I understand. It's hard because she wants to make ends meet. She wants to do the right things, but she looked at that as a black eye. And I thought to myself, she's got 3 great kids. 2 in the hotel management business, 2 of them with degrees. Young man had retired from the military and got a beautiful family. Man, we was resilient. The devil would have you look at your mistakes and say, you know what, I didn't get it right, and I messed up my kids. And we may got some issues, but I'm sure we picked them up along the way. But thank God for you mothers. If you start late, if you start early, thank God for it. It's all part of God's plan. He knew exactly what he was doing when he grabbed that dirt and formed you. He knew exactly what he was doing. So when you mess up and you do some filthy stuff, you from dirt. He knew exactly what he was doing when he did it. But only God could redeem this dirt. Only God. So when you think about those mistakes, lay them down. And thank God for the time that you have right now. And I wanted to also share, God was sharing with me this morning. I was looking at the census of how many people, 7 billion. I don't know if you guys heard this, but 7 billion people in the world. And it made me think about this scripture in the beginning that says when he gave the commandment to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm like, we're doing pretty good. Almost overpopulated. But in this fruitful and multiply, I want to have you consider this morning, that now that people are here, because at the beginning we needed people, we needed to replenish, we needed to fill up the earth. But now that the earth is filled, does that word still apply? I would venture to say yes, it does. Come on now. Fruitful, come on. Multiply, duplicate yourself as in discipleship unto God. You hear what I'm saying? That the children that are in your house, the children that you are mentored, that means your best your kids' best friends that are coming into your household, means the kids that are coming into your environment that you have an opportunity to invest in, be fruitful, multiply. Duplicate that word of God. Duplicate the discipleship. I love, again, about Miss Anna Jarvis, that when she left this earth, 3 years later, her daughter wanted to honor her enough to celebrate it, and it was a ripple effect where they had made it into a national holiday. What about you? Can we honor our mothers enough? God, I would venture to say that even when we leave here today, that our children will still be following after God, and that they would make it nationwide known, the women and men of God that are being duplicated today. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Guys, pray for me. Thank you, man.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sam, for that word, the message to the mothers. I also just want to encourage you also, the fact that you are a woman, you are a mother. Like he said, it started from the beginning. It's in you. It's in you. Because I remember when I used to say Happy Mother's Day to my wife before she was, that we were having a baby. She's like, I'm not a mother. I said, no, you are a mother. You're a woman. So you are a woman. You are qualified.
Amen.
Don't think you're not qualified because it's in you. All you have to do is cultivate it.
Yes.
So how do you cultivate? Through the word of God, knowing who you are as a woman of God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't give an altar call. Didn't invite anybody. I got nervous. I don't know what happened. You going to do it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let us stand. Let us pray. For those of you guys that had heard the word and it was inspired by it, if there's anything that has been said on today through the worship, through the dance, through the word that inspired you, that you wanted to come and you wanted to just to get receive prayer, if you want to give your life to God, we don't want to let anybody leave without giving them the opportunity. Or if you wanted to join this household of faith, we want to open the doors of the church so that you'll be able to do so. And our desire is that you would come, get planted, grow, and serve this in the kingdom of God. Is there one? And if not, we will pray. Father God, we just thank you so very much, Lord God, for the word that we have received on today, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be first partakers, Lord God. And we just we celebrate the mothers on today, Lord God, that we would show them the honor, Lord God, that it was deserved, Lord God, and we would represent them, Lord God, and you, first and foremost, Lord God, the way that you, Lord God, have allowed us to be, Lord God, as ambassadors for you. Lord, we love you and we appreciate, Lord God, the opportunity, Lord God, to be an example, Lord God, for the world to see. And all these blessings we ask your son, Jesus' name. The church say amen.